Begin the Garden Daven Sechta School and Daf Tzadik Ches. Begin on the bottom of Tzadik Zayin Mabez, four lines up at the bottom of the Yamad, where the Gemara continues explaining the teaching of Rav Nachman, which relates to the halacha of our Mishnah, of our Perek, regarding the laws of a Gira Nasha. He said that that's forbidden to be eaten, and if it's cooked with the thigh itself, it was not taken out, then it depends how much there is regarding the ratio of Isser and Heter. The Gid is Usser, and the Erech, the thigh, is regular kosher meat. And that, as we said, that there's different measurements regarding different areas of halacha, if it's going to imbue taste into that thigh. And one of the primary criterion we use in Isser and Heter of Bittel is that of a ratio of 60 to 1. Now, one of the related halachas that Rav Nachman spoke about was Beya, regarding a non-kosher or prohibited egg. That's Peshishim. If it's cooked with other eggs, you need to have a ratio of 60 to 1. Ve'ein Beya min aminyan. We said sometimes, like by the cow, by the udder of a cow, there that could be part of the 60 of Heter against the one of Isra of the milk inside of it. In this case, the egg is not from the 60. You need to have 60 eggs besides this non-kosher egg to be mevatler. Now, however, regarding this halacha in its own sense, the Gemara asks, Amali Ravi Debar Oven Labayi says, Lememra the Yavi Taima? Is that to say that non-kosher eggs give taste when it's cooked with other eggs? But Va'amri Inshi, but people say, Kimaya de Beya Ba'almi, it's just like egg water, means to say, it doesn't taste like anything. There's no taste. So we see that eggs do not imbue taste in other things that it's cooked with. So why do you even need to have the isr being bottled and nullified if it's expanding in a ratio of 60? It's not contaminating in isr anything else. So on that Abai said to me, right, Hachmai Skinna, what are we talking about over here? We're not talking about an egg from a non-kosher species. Rather, as a continued type of tzadik ches and an olive, bebeis efrayach. We're talking about an egg that has a chick inside of it, which the flesh of that chick gives taste into the eggs that it's cooked with. So it doesn't make a difference if it's from a kosher species or non-kosher species. That chick is in the veil, it was never slaughtered. That's what we say when we mean that it's a non-kosher egg. And that chick does imbue taste, like chickens. Now, and that is the Gemara of Tamei, but what are you saying? Regarding a non-kosher egg without a chick inside of it, then Laida, that's not a problem. However, Eisvei, that seems to be contradictive in the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Beim tahayrais, regarding kosher eggs, shashalkan imbeis and beim tameis, that are cooked with non-kosher eggs. Says the Braisha, im yesh ben benois and tam, if the non-kosher egg is giving taste into the kosher eggs, then kulan asur is all prohibited, as we know from these halachas that we're explaining. But one thing you see is that we're talking about non-kosher and kosher eggs. Says the Gemara, no hachiname, bebeis afreich. Here also, what we're talking about is, we're talking about an egg that has a chick inside of it. Now, my karla tamea, so why are we calling it a non-kosher egg? Kivin isba afreich, since there's a chick inside of it, karla tamea. It's called non-kosher, but it's even of a kosher species. What makes it non-kosher is because not a slaughtered chick that's inside that's giving taste to the rest of the eggs. However, ask the Gemara, but vamniktani is safer. But look at the end of that brisa. The brisa says, beim shashalkon, eggs that were cooked. Vinimtze afreich ba'achzman, so you cook a bunch of eggs, you open up one of them, and there's a chick inside of it. Says the brisa, emyesh ben benoisen tam. So if there's a ratio that chick would give taste to the rest of the eggs over there. It's there's not so much to mevatel that taste of the chick. Kul nasur is the old prohibited. Says the Gemara, so if that's the case of the Seifa, so mechlal the ratio, the inference is that the first case that we quoted before, which takes the terminology of temeya, obviously it's literally talking about temeya, which is a terminology used for a non-kosher species. The lesba freyachaskan, that's talking about that there is no chick. Because if the ratio is like we were explaining, talking about a kosher species with a chick, so it's redundant. The sefer is saying the same halacha. Obviously, the sefer is talking about a chick, and the ratio is talking about non-kosher species, and you see that it does imbue taste. Says the Gemara, no. Perusha kama farish. The end of the brisa is just explaining the beginning of the brisa. The brisa says, beim tahirish shalkan and beim tameyas, kosher eggs that are cooked with non-kosher eggs. Says the Braisa, im yesh ben benoisen tam, this was the ratio, if it gives a taste, kul nasur is to all prohibited. And that says the Braisa, ketzad, it's explaining in the Sefer, how so? What do we mean when we say non-kosher egg with kosher eggs? Kugun shasholkam benimtza afreich ba'achas men, it's like when you're cooking a bunch of eggs and you find the chicken inside of it. Well, that's what we mean when we said that it's tamea, but it's really from a kosher species. It's just because you have the non-slaughtered chick inside the egg that gave taste to the rest of the eggs, and that's what's problematic. But really, there's no problem with non-kosher eggs because it does not emit taste to the other eggs. And the Gemara says, Hachana mastabra. Actually, it's logical to say like we're answering an explanation of the Braisa. Because if you would think like you're asking that, oh, it was the Sefer that told about a chick. So the Reisha must have been talking about that there is no chick and rather talking about a non-kosher species, and that would be problematic. But then, hashtud les ba'afroyach, then, if you already have the case of the reisha, which you're explaining is talking without a chick, and the Bryce is already telling us that it does emit a taste, and it would make the other eggs prohibited, and asur, it's going to be forbidden, even though technically we said it's really like egg water. So then the ispa afroyach, so then the case of the seifa, which if there's a chick, even from a kosher species, mibayi, do you have to say that it's going to be asur? Of course, that chick gives taste because it's a chick and it's an avela, so obviously it would be asur. So why is the Bryce saying it? Obviously, because it's not that the reisha was talking about a type that's tamei. It was the same case in the seifa was explaining the reisha. Tishti Gemara says, no, imishim holo iri. If that's your whole proof, that's not necessarily the case. Because you could say tana seifa legluyi reisha. You could say that the seifa's case, yeah, it's obvious. If the reisha is also, then for sure the seifa, and why would it be necessary? We're saying the case of the seifa to reveal what is the case of the reisha. Meaning, shaloi tami, you shouldn't say, as you're trying to say, reisha this by frayach, that the reisha is talking about a case. What do we mean when we say an egg that's tame, that's not kosher, it means that there's a chick? Avales bafrech shari, but then you would say, oh, but if there's no chick, let's say non-kosher species permitted. That's why it says the Gemara, it's, you could say, tana seifa this bafrech. No, this, therefore the seifa says a case. When there is a chick, machlal, the reisha is less bafrech. The inference is, if the reisha is a different case, it must be tumah without a chick. And even so, it's going to be asur. So you're right, the seifa is obvious if you know the reisha. But you would think the reisha would be to interpret it as the Gemara wants to interpret it, that's talking about that it's because of a chick. So then, but without it, it would be permitted. Therefore we say, no, the seifa is talking about that case. The reisha must be then talking about a different case, where even temeya, meaning non-kosher species, even though it's just egg water, it's still going to be asur. Therefore there's no raya to what the Gemara is attempting to say, that no, it's only a problem with a chick, but not a problem with egg of a non-kosher species, because that doesn't emit any taste. The Gemara continues with a story on the theme of this topic, relating specifically what I mentioned in the previous staff. Ahu kezesa tarba. There was an olive size of prohibited fats. Denafal b'dikula debisu. That fell into a pot of meat. Now, the Gersa Sover Rav Ashi, l'shu'ure. So Rav Ashi thought to evaluate and assess the permittable elements, which is what's mevatel the issur, nullifies it, and to add on to the permitted elements in what the ratio is, b'may debala dikula, with also what the pot must have absorbed, and that should be included in the ratio of nullifying the prohibited element. Now, however, the prohibited element he was only evaluating as it was now after it was already cooked, which is already shrivels up after it cooks. But he wanted to count, besides what we've seen in the pot, okay, let's evaluate how much isur, this forbidden fats, how much kosher. Now, he was saying, besides all the kosher in the pot, oh, there must have been more food over here that gets absorbed in the pot itself. So he wanted to evaluate that also in the permitted elements. On that, Amali Rabban Rav Ashi, and that, his students, the rabbis, said to Rav Ashi, Atu de Terubala, you think only the permitted elements of the kosher food in that meat pot got absorbed in the pot to count that as what was must have been there more? The Surah Lay Bala and what the prohibited item wasn't absorbed? No. Also, the prohibited item shriveled up. And when it fell in, it must have been more. And that also was absorbed into the pot. So rather, essentially, they were telling him, no, you have to evaluate only what you see in front of you. Because the pot absorbed in the ratio, both from the prohibited and the permitted, and therefore it doesn't make a difference, as we mentioned this type of idea in the previous staff, that only if we had seen in the beginning that there was more heter and the Isser didn't shrink, but in general, you have to assume that it's both the equal amount, and therefore don't count what's in the pot, because that would be the same anyway. Just look at what you see in front of you. Moreover, another similar incident, Hu palga de zeis de tarba, there was a half a olive size of forbidden fats, the nafal be de kula de bisu that fell into a pot of meat. Now, Sava Mabra Vashi l'shu'uri betlosin palga de zeis. Mabra Vashi thought to evaluate that all you need to have is 30 half of olive size volumes of permitted meat to bimavatl that half olive size of forbidden fats. Now, the reason why he wasn't requiring 60 to 1 and only 30 to 1 is because it didn't have the measurement of what someone's liable for eating forbidden fats, which is generally the share of a kazayis. So he was denigrating the requirements of bittel, of nullification, and only requiring 30 to 1. That's what he thought to do. However, Amali Avu, his father, said to him, Lava Minlach, didn't I tell you, like Tazalzl Bishurid Rabbanan, you shouldn't be disgraceful with measurements that are even rabbinic, meaning even things that are not biblically prohibited, you shouldn't be disgraceful in their measurements. So although this is not the biblical, let's say, it might not be, because let's say you would say the shear is only kezias, but even if something's only rabbinically, you shouldn't be disgraceful and require less than that. But like moreover, he says, this actually is biblically prohibited. Because Ha'am Rabbi Yechanan says, Chatzi shir asim anatayram, a half of a measurement is also biblically prohibited. As the Gemara says in Masechtas Yumad of the Ayin Dal Amar Aleph from Kol Chaylev, which includes even half of the measurement. Now, the Zayas is to be liable for lashes and the punishments and the consequences, but the prohibition initially is even half of the measurement, and therefore it's a biblical requirement, and therefore it should be measured as 60 to 1 and not as 30 to 1. Now, Amrav Shemin bar Abba, Amrav Idi bar Idi bar Gershom, Amrav Levi bar Parta, Amrav Nochem, Amrav Rebbe Birayim, Mishum Zakav Echad, the name of one elder, and Rebbe Yaakov Shmei, his name was Rebbe Yaakov, that he said, Debei Nasi Amru, in the house of the Nasi, they had said, which was the prince of the Jewish people, Beya Besamach, as we've been saying this halacha before from Rav Nachman, if their egg falls into 60, so then Asura, it's prohibited. Besamach Va'achas, if it falls into permitted of 61, then muteris, then that egg is, then the elements that it falls into is permitted. Now, Amr B'Zeira, Rav Shimon bar Abba, so Rav Zeira said to Rav Shimon bar Abba, who was saying over this halacha, says, Rei sha'atam matabal gvul heter, you should see that you're putting a boundary of permissibility, meaning he's telling him, look what you're doing, that you shouldn't err and make a stumbling block for those who are relying on you, because you're giving a boundary of permissibility of a ratio of 61, and you're not explaining, is that 61 with the prohibited egg or without it? Now, those who hear you will assume and might think that it's including with the prohibited egg. But Shahri Shnei Gedei Ladar, but I just want you to know that there were two great ones of the generations that were asked this question, and Loi Pirsha Sadavar, they didn't explain this idea to qualify exactly if in the 61 is that besides the prohibited egg or with it. And who are they? Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni. Tarvayu Mishmeid, Rabbi Shimon Levi. Both of them said over the name of Shimon Levi. And Amri, they said, Beya besamach asura. If an egg that's prohibited falls into 60 kosher eggs, it's prohibited. Besamach va'achas muteris. If it falls into 61, then those other eggs are permitted. Now, Vibaylu, they had been asked that question, Besamach va'achas bahadi dida. When we're saying 61, does the 61 include the prohibited egg? Like dilma labarmino, or maybe that's excluding that one for a total of 62 eggs. Vilei pashut, I didn't answer that question. Umar pashut la mifshut, but you, the master, you're obviously resolving it because you're not saying any doubt in this situation to say I don't know if it's from the 61 or not. So people might assume that it's part of the 61. Now, Idma, the Gemara actually says conclusively that Amr b'chel b'amr avhunam, Beya, regarding a prohibited egg, besamach v'hi asura. If it's 60 with it, meaning 60 and then another one of it, that's asura, that's prohibited. Besamach v'achas v'hi, if it's 61 and it, meaning for a sum total of 62, then muteris, then it's permitted. So we see that the 61 is actually without it, according to this opinion, and with it, it's going to be a total of 62. Then the rest of the eggs will be permitted and not be become usur from that taste of that prohibited egg. Continuing on these themes about bittel, about nullification of iser, Hahuda asla kamed Rabbi Gamliel bar Rabbi. There was someone that came in front of Rabbi Gamliel bar Rabbi, which according to the first interpretation of Rashi, it's talking about that there was a half of an olive volume of prohibited element, and so to the next incident with Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi. And Amalei, so Rabbi Gamliel bar Rabbi said to this person, Abba, my father, he had such an incident that came in front of him, and he only found 47 of heter in ratio to the one of iser, and he permitted it. So obviously you don't really need 60, so I'll permit this thing also, even though I only find 45. So you see, you don't really need 60. 47 my father had, 45 is also the same idea. But Rashi actually says a different interpretation. He says that no, the girsa, as actually our Gemara seems to clearly indicate, is that my father, loy shir bar bom b'sheva, he did not evaluate to permit it when there was 47, whereas the Yaibitz brings that according to the first interpretation of Rashi, you have to say that either he had the girsa haloi, didn't he, meaning he did, or not to have the girsa loi. that Abba was Shir Bar Ba Mesheva. But according to the second interpretation is, no, my father Loi Shir Bar Ba Mesheva. He didn't permit when there was a ratio of 47 to 1. Vani Ashar Bar Ba Mechamesh, and I should evaluate it when there's only 45 to 1. If he had such a story with 47 and he didn't say it's permitted and he said forbidden, I'm going to go ahead and permit it in 45. And Rashi says, according to this Girsa, then you don't have to say it's talking about a Chatzis Ayis. Because in the first gear, so you have to say Chatzis Ayis because we know it has to be 60 to 1. Okay, less than a shear, you could say then it doesn't, you could be mezalzel somewhat in that shear. But according to this gear, so that he was being machmer, so then you could say it's even talking about by regular shear. And he's saying, no, you need to have 60 to 1. You can't just go ahead and nullify it in 45 or 47 to 1. Similarly, Ahud Asli Kamidr Shimon Bar Rebbe, a different son of Rebbe, someone came in front of Reb Shimon Bar Rebbe, Amalei, he said to him, to that person, Abba lo yishir b'mem hey, my father didn't evaluate to permit it in the ratio of 45 to 1. Vani yashar b'mem gimel, I'm going to go ahead and permit it in 43 to 1. Of course not, it's not going to be permitted. Now, who does l'kamed Reb Chiya? There was something that came in front of Reb Chiya to see, is this okay? Something prohibited fell into the pot. What's the halacha? So Amaleis, Reb Chiya said to him, klum yashleishim, do you think there's even 30 of permissibility versus the one of prohibited? It's not enough to nullify. The pot is prohibited. Now, the Gemara asks, time into like a shleishim. It sounds like from here. Why? Because there wasn't 30 to 1 ha'ikah shleishim m'sharin. But if there was 30 to 1, then you would evaluate it. What, that disgraceful we could be in the permissibility of nullification? 30 to 1. No, so Amr Pchanina, he says, no, Guzma. He was exaggerating. In other words, he was saying, why are you coming to me and ask me this question? There's not even 30 of Heter in correlation to that one of Isser. But it wasn't precise in the words that he was saying. He was just trying to say that this is something that doesn't even have, the question doesn't even stand. There wouldn't even be 30 to 1, even though, of course, 30 to 1 wouldn't be Matrid. He was just trying to say, what's the question? You don't even have even somewhere close to what the question is. Says, all prohibited elements requires a nullification of 60 to 1, which is when we check and it's not giving flavor, or when you cannot check with flavor, for example, if it's the same species. But as Rashi explains, but if we check and it gives taste, then taste is never nullified. As the Gemara says many places and later on the next daf, that the Gemara tells us that if it's nice and tam, if it gives taste, then whether there's a ratio of 101 to nullify, whether it doesn't, it's still going to be prohibited. Now, in contrast, however, when it doesn't give taste, you still need to have 60 to 1 to nullify it, as the Gemara also tells us later on, that if it doesn't give taste, okay, whether you have 101 or not, it's going to be permitted. But then the Gemara says, so if you don't have 101, so then what are you nullifying with? Don't you require at least 60? So you see from the Gemara later on, that even when it's not giving taste, as we'll shortly quote the Machlokes, that some say you need 60 to 1, some say you need 100 to 1, but although you don't, even though in that you don't need the 101, which is a different share, as we'll see, but that's what Rashi is explaining. You always need to have 60 to 1, even when there's no taste. But if there's taste, then 60 to 1 is not enough. The taste is there, and therefore that wouldn't be batel, even in 60 to 1. Now, Amar l'fan of Rabbi Shmuel bar of Yitzchak. He says, Rabbi Ato Imikain, do you really say this, that only surin are batel besamach and shishim in 60? But Hachi Amar of Asi, Amar b'shum Levi, Mishum bar Kapara, he says name about Kapara, that kol yisurin shabatayah b'meya, that all prohibited items actually require a ratio of 100 to 1. Now, the Gemara says, and as they're both learning from Bar Kapara, b'shneim lo ilamdua ilam ezroi b'sheilam. Both of them actually are learning from the same source, from the cooked foreleg of the ram that the Nazir brings, which is the part that's elevated, and then they do tnufa, which they lift it up, and they wave it, which that part of the animal is given to the kohen, which is prohibited for non-kahanim. Now, the rest of the ram is eaten by the owner, by the Nazir, because it's a carbon shlam. Now, Rashi points out that although we could have learned out from this halacha that regarding taste, that even when it gives taste, that it should be permitted, which Rashi just before said, no, when it gives taste, it's always going to be forbidden. Because over here, you could say that had the foreleg been a different type than the rest of the animal, it would have been given taste. Even so, the Rabbanu were stringent, and they said, no, taste is not batal. But one thing is we're going to see that when it's not giving taste, as Rashi is qualifying this whole halacha that they're saying in Bar Kapara, that you need either always 60 to 1 or 100 to 1, when it's not giving taste, they both learned it out from the halacha of the cooked foreleg of the ram. Why? Because the Pasuk says in Bamidbar, the Kohen takes the cooked foreleg, and he does this whole process, and then that's given to the Kohen, and only the Kohanim could eat it. Now, but time to learn the Braisa, when it says that the Kohen takes the foreleg that's b'sheila, that's b'sheila, says a gechintam in beis, what that means is, says the Tanakhama, in b'sheila ila shlema. The word b'sheila means it has to be complete, which Rashi says, not clear in what language b'sheila means complete, although Tosfos wants to say that the word b'sheila could be read as b'shalah, which means to say, as it is. Which means it has to be intact. You're not going to cut up into smaller pieces. It has to be intact. Pshim ben Yechaya, I mean, he says, no, ein b'sheila ela shenas bashal l'ma'ayl. What does it mean to cook for? Like, means to say it was already cooked with the rest of the ram. But one thing says the Gemara is the kuliyama, but according to both the Tanakhama and Reb Shimon, b'hadi ayil mevashala. It's cooked with the ram, because the pasuk is not removed from its simple interpretation, which the pasuk sounds like, that it was cooked with the ram, and then you take that cooked foreleg, and then you take it away, and you disconnect it from the rest of the animal, and you give it to the kain. Now, but what's their machlekes? Mar savar, the Tanakhama held, machatechla. First you cut it from the ram, v'had mavashala, and then you cook it with the ram. And that's what we're teaching, although it's disconnected, but the word b'sheila means it has to be intact. You shouldn't cut it up into pieces, although it was detached already from the animal. Omar Sava and Reb Shimon comes to tell us, no, mevashala, you cook it as it is, connected to the ram as it's cooking. And then afterwards, you go ahead and you cut it off from the rest of the animal. But they're both agreeing that it's being cooked with the ram. That's one interpretation of the machlekes. V'boisim, if you want, you could say that, no, the kuliyama machatechla v'had mevashala. No, everyone agrees that first you cut off the foreleg and then you cook it. Miu, however, Mar Sava, Reb Shimon held, b'hadi al mevashala. It's with the rest of the ram that you cook it, although it was already disconnected. And whereas the Tanakhama holds that, no, in another pot you cook it. And that's why he's saying that, although it's separate, but you got to keep it intact. Now the Gemara concludes what the Gemara was saying on Amud Aleph, that both interpretations of Bar Kapara were both learning out from this halacha of Zrei B'Sheila. But first it qualifies, and it says, Lishna Kama, according to the first version that we explained this, both according to Tanakhama and Reb Shimon, that you cook the foreleg with the rest of the ram. So the two Amarim that we quote on Amud Aleph, that we said they learned it from Zrei B'Sheila, Aliba Didivrei HaKol, they would be learning their halacha according to both opinions of Tanakhama and Reb Shimon. Whereas Lishna Basra, according to the second version that we explained, that Tanakhama actually holds that you cook the Zrei B'Sheila in its own pot, then they're going to learn out the halacha, Aliba Reb Shimon ben Yechai, only according to Reb Shimon, where we see, again, according to the first version, according to everyone, according to the second version, according to Reb Shimon, that we're cooking the permitted element, that of the rest of the ram, with the Isser, that of the Zrei B'Sheila, because that Zraya is forbidden for the non-kam, for the owners. Now, additionally, one has to keep in mind that this forbidden Zraya has many bones and not so much flesh, because the shoulder is not part of the Zraya, as the Gemara tells later in the Kavlama Dalama base. And it's in that identification of that Isser Zraya, and which is being permitted with the rest of the ram, that's their machlokes, as the Gemara explains. Mandam of Vishishim, the one who says that you see from the halach of the Zrei B'Sheila a nullification of a ratio of 60 to 1 is because Savar, he holds Basa of Atzamais, the flesh and the bones of the Zraya, which is the Isser element over here to the Zarim, to the non-Kehanim, Bahadi Basa of Atzamais, together with the bones and the flesh of the ram, Misharina, that's how we evaluate it. And the Rabbanan had understood that Vahavale B'Sheshim, that is a measurement of 60 to 1, and that you see the Torah permits it. But Amad Dama B'Meya, the one that says, though, no, you need from this halacha 100 to 1, because Savra, he holds that no, the bones don't need to be evaluated to be nullified, because it doesn't emit any taste bones. And therefore, when we're evaluating in this pasuk, it's only Basar, it's the flesh of the Zraya, Bahadi Basar, with the flesh of the ram. That's what Misharina, that's what we're evaluating. Oh, v'havalei b'meya. That's a since there's very little meat on the foreleg. So if you're evaluating the rest of the ram to that, that's a ratio of 100 to 1. That's what all you see from this pasuk. To permit something, it would require a ratio of 100 of heter to the one of this. Now, on that is the Gemara, Mi'al Finimina. Do we really learn out the halacha as a bittel of Isser from the Zrei B'Sheila, which again, we said, depending on how you learn it, it's going to be 100 to 1 or 60 to 1? But V'tanya learned the Braisa that says, Zehu heter haba mechlal Isser. This halacha of the Zrei B'Sheila is something permissible that's permitted from really something that's really prohibited. Why? Because the ram is absorbing taste from the Zraya, and still the pasuk is permitting you to do this. Now, says the Gemara, Zehu mu'utemai, when it said this is something that's permitted from Isser, What's that excluding? Isn't it excluding all other prohibited elements that are in Torah law that we don't learn out from that? So how are you learning from here the halacha of bimavatl, a iser in heter? Amabaya says, loy nitzrucha. No, we didn't need the zehu, which is excluding something else. El Rabbi Huda. It's excluding regarding the halacha of Rabbi Huda. The Amad that he says, Menachas Davcha Beis Mabeis, he says, Mim Bemin Loy Batl. He says, when it's the same species, there's no nullification. Kamash Balan, the Hacha, that's what's teaching over here, in contrast, however, here by the Ram, the Batl, that it is going to be nullified. And that's why the Brisa says, Zahu, this is the case, which you don't learn out from here, that when it's the same species, which they're both made, that it should be nullified. That we don't learn out from him. Meaning here, the min b'min, they will be batal, but it's saying only zehu, but in regards to all other halachas, min b'min is not going to be batal. But when it's min b'she'in b'min, it's two different species, then, like our Gemara is saying, both these interpretations from Bar Kapara, you will learn out either 100 or 60, each one according to their understanding of how you understand that the zraya with the bones or without the bones. But that is the Gemara, but v'ligmimine, but why don't you learn from here? Don't you see clearly from the halachas Rebbe Sheila that it's min b'mina and still it's going to be batal? So why does Rebbe Yehuda learn from here? Says the Gemara, no, because Kol Rachmana, the Torah reveals in the pasuk in Mayikra, Parshas Achrei Mois, when it talks about the karbanis that are done in Yom Kippurim in the Kachay Kachim. So then part of the process is that they take from the karbanis and they put on the corners of the inner altar in the Heichel. Now the pasuk says there's two karbanis that are brought by the Kohen Gadol in the Kachay Kachim in the Heichel. It says, V'lokach medam ha-par or medam ha-sar. It takes from the blood of the par, which is one carbon, and from the blood of the carbon sar. Now, additionally, Behuda holds, which there's a dispute in that interpretation, that what that means to say is that you mix both of those bloods together, and you put them into one vessel. And then you put them together on the corners of the mizbeach. So you have tarvayu b'hadei adadininu. You have both the bloods that are together, and it's known that the blood of the bull is more than the blood of the sar of the he-goat. And still the Torah calls the blood of the he-goat. So you see, that v'lei batli, you see that's not being nullified. Because if there was, by min b'mina bittel, it shouldn't be called dam asar anymore because it's already nullified in the dam apar. Obviously you see that min b'mina is lei batl. But that has to get more. But u'maychaz is the gamrin mahay. Where did you see fit to learn from that halacha that's telling you min b'mina lei batl? Ligbi mahay, why don't you learn from Zerai B'Shele where you see min b'mina is being batl? Says Gemara, no, because chidishu. The halacha by the Zerai B'Shele is a novelty because the Torah is initially allowing you to go ahead and nullify something prohibited. Meaning, even if you say there's halacha bittel, nullification, but what's called limavatlan isalik etchile, not initially nullify, take a piece of chazer and put it into kosher meat and say, well, there's so many kosher pieces, it's nullified. Now let's do that. It's only after the fact. Here the Torah tells you to go ahead and do that. That's a chiddush. A chiddush like a bina, and therefore you can't learn out from something novel, and therefore we're not going to learn from over there that min b'mina is batel. But that is the Gemara, Ihachi. But if that's the case, that this is a novelty and you can't learn out from Zerai B'Shele, so Lamei V'Samach Namah L'Ligmar. So how are you learning out from the other halacha that we're saying, from Amen Alfam Bar Kapara, that we learn out from the laws of that it's nullified in 60 or 1 regarding regular Yisurim, but I thought you can't learn out from here because it's a Chiddush. Says the Gemara, Atu Anan, you think us, this that we were learning out from here, the nullification of 100 or 60, L'Kula Gamrinan? That we were learning it as a leniency to say, well, it gets nullified, and then you're going to ask, well, that's a novelty that the Torah is makel only by Zerai B'Shele. You can't learn that from there. No, l'chumer gamrinan. We're saying a stringency because really we would say that it should be nullified in a majority, in a simple majority. Now, a stringency, you most definitely can learn it from Zerai B'Shele because actually it's a kal v'chaim, it's a kol shekein. If the ayil nazir, which the Torah is lenient, as we said, that there's a leniency that initially you could go ahead and mivatel iser. Still, it's not lenient unless you have a ratio as that debate exactly what is assumed in the ram of 101 or 60 to 1. So for sure, other isurim with the Torah is not lenient, for sure that we could go ahead and create a stringency. Because dimidereisa, in other words, if we had not learned from the Zerai B'Shele and we would have just had it regarding nullifying taste, so we would have gone like the regular laws of nullification that are biblical, and that is Berubah Batel. We would have gone based on the simple majority, like the Pasuk says in Shemais Chav Gimel, Achi Rab Lahatis. So, of course, you call them Zerai B'Shele as a stringency, just not a leniency. And therefore, it's a stringency that we say that you not just a simple majority of 2 to 1, but you actually need to have 60 to 1 or that of 100 to 1. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation, Rav Amah, he says, to answer the question that we had asked, that, wait a second, doesn't it say Zehu? Like, as if that this is something that Heter HaBoa B'Chalal Isser, and you can't learn out other Yisroel in Shabbat Torah? So Abaye said that, oh, it's coming to exclude a different halacha, that of min b'minay of Rabbi Huda. And that Rabbi says a different interpretation. It says, loy netzucha, you didn't need zehu, elatam ki ikr. It's coming to say regarding the law that a taste is like the prohibited item itself. The bekachim aser, because in the laws of kachim of karbanis, there we say that the taste is literally like the prohibited item itself, and therefore, when it gets mixed with other things, it's not going to be nullified, it's going to be prohibited. Kamash malam, the hachashari, that's what the Brisa is teaching, that over here by the Ezra'i B'Shele, it's going to be permitted, and it's for this halacha that the Brisa says zehu, to exclude the laws of other kachim. But regarding the laws of chulin, of regular prohibited items, that, like the Gemara says, we do learn now from here, from Zohar B'Shela, regarding the prohibition, regarding the nullification of 100 to 1 or 60 to 1, because the halacha is that, of course, we would generally say it's actually permitted with a simple majority of Acharam Lahatis. But here we learn that as a stringency to say that no, it's only nullified in 100 to 1 or 60 to 1. And the reason for this is because Rabbah holds by chulin that you don't say Tam Kirka, as the Gemara is going to explain, that because biblically he holds that it's nullified in a simple majority, and it's actually only rabbinically that you need to have 60 or 100. As the Gemara says, similarly for Rabbi Yechon, the Masechta of Avodah Zarah, that whatever is just taste and not the substance itself, you don't get lashes. Now, although the Gemara in Pesachim, the Memdal Manav, says from the laws of Nazir, that it says Umishras, which tells you actually that Tam is Ki'ikr, so that Rashi says that the later Amiram held that that is only an Asmach Tabam, it's only an illusion, but we don't learn that from there. And the reason is because Nazir, which are those halachas by Mishras, and emissions from non-kosher pots, are basic summa bom ke'echad, and therefore you can't learn from there. Or, actually, the laws of emissions from non-kosher pots is a novelty, as the Gemara says over there. And Mishras is actually teaching a different halach of het mitzdarf le'isser, that heter combines with isser, but not that it's teaching you tam ke'echad. And therefore, you don't say tam ke'echad. Actually, by regular chulin, you'll say that it will be nullified, and actually we would normally go with a simple majority, and as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, that Rabba also agrees to this concept that it's only as a stringency, and what we're excluding from this halacha, when we say zehu, this is what we say by the halacha of hetem achal issa, that it only applies to nazir b'sheila, the ayal nazir, that's talking about regards to that you don't say tam ki ikr over here. But by other kachim, you do say the stringency of tam ki ikr. Now, that the Gemara continues the top of Tzadi Tesem and Alf, but why? Why don't we learn that the laws of other kachim to say that, no, you don't say tam ki ikr, as by Zroi B'Shela, where you don't say it's tam ki ikr, you say it is batal, and whether we say 60 or 100, and then you should say by nicer leftover karbanos or by pigle, that it should be nullified. Why you say by other kachim that it's not, and that's what Zeh was coming to exclude. So Zimono, because Goli Rachmana Gebechatis, the Torah reveals to us by the Karmachatis, and says in Sefer V'Yikra, says, whatever touches the flesh of the karmachatas will be sanctified. What that means to say is, li'is kamaya, whatever touches it and absorbs taste from it becomes just like the karmachatas. Shem psula, that if the karmachatas is invalid, so tipasal, so the one that absorbs from it also becomes invalid. Vim kasher, and even if the karmachatas is valid, then teichel, you have to eat the one that absorbs from it, kachamer shabbat, like the stringency of a karmachatas. Meaning to say that if the carbon that absorbs from the chatas is like say, carbon shlamim, you cannot eat it with the qualifications of a shlamim. Rather, it's forbidden to eat it for others besides the males of kahanim, and only for a day and a night, and only inside the klum. And it's actually from here that we learn out this halacha, that regarding all isurim mekachim, that it never gets nullified when it's in its own species, even in 100 to 1. And that's where we say that it's different, and that's what we're excluding. Well, that is the Gemara, but Umay Chaz the Gemara Mahayich, where did you see fit to learn out from the Karmachatas to say that there's by Kachim you'll say Tam Ki Iker, and if it's not Batal, Ligmi Mahay? Why don't you learn out from the Zrei B'Shela that you see that you don't say it's like the essential thing itself, like the substance, and it is nullified in 100 to 1 or 60 to 1? Says the Gemara, as we said in the first answer, no Chiddushu. As we explained, the laws of Zrei B'Shela is a novelty, because the Torah is initially allowing you to nullify an Isser, that of the Zrei B'Shela, which is Asur Tazarim, with the rest of the ram, which is eaten by the Zarim, and allows you to actively do it. And therefore, Mechidish Ligamin, and therefore, a novelty you can't learn out from there. And therefore, we can't learn out this leniency, this halacha of saying that it's not Tam Ki'ikr, which is a leniency to say that we can nullify it. That is the Gemara. Well, if that's the case, then lemei b'shishim namal ligmi. Then we shouldn't learn out the permissibility of nullification of 101 or 61 for other isurim from the Zrei B'Shela too. Says the Gemara, Atu Anan Lekula Gamrin, what you thought we're learning out from here as a leniency, which of course you can't learn out because it's a chiddush. Lechumruk Gamrin, we're learning as a stringency, the Mineraisa, Beruba Batla, because according to biblical law, should be nullified in the simple majority. And therefore, as a stringency, for sure you could learn out, because here, even though the Torah is lenient in this Dre B'Sheila, still it requires either 60-1 or 100-1, so for sure we could learn out as a stringency regarding other Yisroel where the Torah is not so lenient, which you're not allowed to look at Chilago Ed Mimvatla Yisr. There we could learn out that, yeah, you can require a nullification of either 60-1 or 100-1.